السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهداه. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Oh Allah, we do not have knowledge besides that which you have granted us, for indeed you are most knowledgeable, most wise. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا. O Allah, grant us knowledge that is beneficial and benefit us from the knowledge that you have granted us. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa' wa min aynin la tadma' wa min qalbin la yakhsha' wa min batnin la yashba' wa min du'a'in la yusma'. O Allah, we seek your protection from knowledge that is of no use, from eyes that will not cry for your sake, from a heart that will not fear you, from a stomach that will not be filled and a soul that will not be content, and from a dua that is made to you by us that you do not answer. Amen. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken the truth when he describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, saying that definitely you are upon the highest level of character and conduct, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about the character and conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she replied with one statement, كان خلقه القرآن. His character and conduct was a living Quran. Before I commence, as is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the brothers who are seated in front of me, I'm going to ask you to do something. Can we come slightly closer? And believe me, it will be beneficial, inshallah. There is a narration which states, do not leave gaps for the shaitan. So we should try and come as close as possible. Those who do have, the elderly and those who have excuses, please feel free to lean against the wall and feel free to sit on the chairs. But for us who are young, mashallah, we can come as close as possible. Jazakumullahu khairah. May Allah accept it from us. Remember, we are not doing it for any other sake besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dearest brothers and sisters and elders in Islam, it brings me great pleasure to be here with you once again. It is a sign of acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I had not planned and intended to come to Cape Town, but it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who had planned that I be here. I see one of my students sitting here, alhamdulillah. There is a question that is often raised. We all know that we need to become better Muslims at every time. Is that not correct? We all know that today, the level I am on, tomorrow I must be on a higher level. Otherwise, I'm a loser. If I am on the same level for 2 days, there is something wrong with me. So every one of us knows that if we are engaged in 30 evils a day, we need to make it 29, 28, 27, so that in 30 days, we can have nothing. Inshallah. So, the same applies if you are engaged in 5 goodnesses a day, the next day it must be 6, or, and then 7, and then 8. So every day we need to increase for the sake of Allah, so much so that the day we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be at our highest level, inshallah. May Allah grant that to us. Don't let shaitan get the better out of you and lead you astray. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And this is why, you know, Adam alayhi salatu was salam, when they were granted natural clothing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala such that their private parts were not exposed at all, then they fell prey to shaitan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that to us in the form of a warning. يَا بَنِي آدَمَ لَا يَفْتِنَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ كَمَا أَخْرَجَ أَبَوَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. O children of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, do not let shaitan lead you astray in the form of fitna, in the same way that he did to your parents. Who is being spoken about here? Adam alayhi salatu wassalam and Hawa. Let me dive into the topic now. There is a question, how do we start? I want to be a better Muslim. Do I start from the outside or do I start from the inside? Can I start with my beard and my thawb and my kufiya or taqiya, whatever you want to call it, or imma, amama, whatever you want to call it? Or as a woman, should I start off first with wearing decent clothing or putting a what we know as hijab or parda on? Is that the beginning? Or there is another side of the coin. Should I start with the inside, with my heart? Can I rectify the ills and evils of my heart first? So there is a big dispute in the Muslim Ummah. To me, that dispute is from shaitan. It is not really, in reality, anything to argue about. Why? What is correct is start with whatever Allah has made it easy for you to start with, but start with something. If you are going to continue to argue, this one will say start with the inside, that one will say start with the outside, no one's going to start anywhere, there's going to be an argument which will result in a debate and end up in a conference, which is a waste of time. Start with whatever it is. If Allah has made it easy for you to start with your inside, start with it, with the idea of getting to develop both the inside and the outside. When you see a cake, if the outside is so gorgeous and so beautiful, you want to eat it. Then when you put it in your mouth, oh, there's pieces of stone in there. You would say this person didn't know how to bake. The basics they didn't know. And the other argument is sometimes a cake will look ugly. You won't even eat it. But you don't know it's very tasty. So the reality is, let's make the cake tasty, and at the same time it must look the way it's supposed to be looking. We are these particular items that I'm speaking about. We must also look Islamic and we must also act Islamic, and our hearts must also be Islamic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. Now, we all say Alhamdulillah ala deen al-Islam, ala ni'mat al-Islam, and so on and so forth. We thank Allah for the gift He has granted us to be mu'mineen, to be muslimin, to be from amongst the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so on and so forth. And we carry on with these statements of pride. May Allah grant us the true following of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The question I have here again is it fair or is it enough to just say, oh, me, I'm Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those people are kuffar. And you are happy that you are Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they are kuffar. But if you look at yourself, you are paying this deen lip service only. Your lips are saying, I am happy, I am proud to be from the Ummah. And yet, that's where it stops. Is it fair? Wallahi, it's not fair. Some of us understand the Sharia as a set of rules and regulations. You come to the masjid, you are a Muslim. You go outside, never mind. How your business is, how you talk and how you walk, there is no problem. So long as I come to my masjid for 5 times salah, I have my beard, I have my thawb, I have my hijab, my parda, whatever it is. And some of our sisters also, they feel that so long as I'm reading my salah, it's okay. So long as I am fulfilling this 5 times a day, and I get up for Fajr, and I even read my tahajjud maybe, it's fine. Then how I talk, how I do whatever else I want, whether it is to my husband and family or to the others, it doesn't really mean much. Wallahi, we are heading in the wrong direction. Islam is kamil, it is full, it is complete. I am not belittling in any way any of these compulsory deeds, no ways. But I want to show you today that the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so vast that anything and everything has been taught to us by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember, to revive a sunnah, listen very carefully, is a very, very great act of worship. Some have actually mentioned numbers and amounts and quantities of reward. I don't want to mention a quantity. I just want to tell you, to revive a sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so great, so massive. To adopt the sunnah will make you succeed in the dunya and the akhirah. Not only in the akhirah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the dunya. He was a perfect example. Today I want to go through a few points. I will start off how he spoke, how he walked, and how he did business. And if we still have time, I will go further. How he joked and how he laughed. Subhanallah. That's the topic today, inshallah. The idea of speaking about how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did these things is not to just become proud of the fact that, oh, he was ala khuluqin azim. No. Khiyarukum ahasinukum akhlaqa, aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of you are those who have the best character. Now someone might argue and say, but last time you said khayrukum khayrukum li ahlihi. You said the best of you is the best to his wife and to his spouse, whether it is husband or wife, the family. And today you are telling us the best of you is the one with the best character? To be honest, think about it carefully. The two agree with each other. There is no disagreement between the two. If you have the best character, you will automatically be the best to your own family members and your wife or husband on the other hand. Isn't it correct? So that is the hadith. He didn't say, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ يُصَلِّ صَلَاتَهُ الْخَمْسِ. No. That is farad. There is no doubt you have to do it. That is your duty. There is no question, but these things people take it for granted. That is why it was stressed. And I repeat, I am not in any way belittling the fara'id. We spoke about them. We know the place in Islam. مَنْ تَرَكَ الصَّلَاةَ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. Whoever leaves their salah intentionally, they lose their iman. May Allah save us. So that is there. That is even more serious. But here we are speaking of khayriya in a different way. We are speaking of who will be the best person? Right, let us take a look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did he speak? Every time before he spoke, he knew what he wanted to say. The words were carefully chosen. If it was Quran, it was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it was hadith, it was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, uttered by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his words were carefully chosen. So to think before you speak is a very, very big sunnah. You will get such a great reward to revive the sunnah. Think before you speak. Learn the lesson. Think very hard. What am I saying? Is it necessary? Whom am I saying it to? How am I saying it? How will they react? Is it of benefit or harm? These are the points you need to look at. So when your child is making a noise in the house, I have mentioned it in the past, here in Cape Town, you don't just stand up and you say, scream at the top of your voice, shut up! Do you think that is the sunnah? Let's take a careful study at this. Do you think that is khuluqin azim? Do you think that is the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants you to speak? And I'm addressing here the males and the females. Rather you would say, keep quiet. Or look at them and say, silence. And some of us, subhanallah, we can just show them an eye. And they will be quiet. Amazing. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach us? Think before you speak. Your own children, your own wife, how do you address him? And I must qualify it by saying your own husband, how do you address him? It's a fact. Think very carefully. What do I want to say? Is it necessary? Whom am I talking to? Do I speak to them on their level? Have I disrespected anyone? The words I'm about to say. Not after you say it and then you cry over spilt milk. You cry over spilt milk. One day I was speaking to school children and I told them, you know what, don't cry over spilt milk. They said, yes, because nowadays you have a Hoover that sucks it up. And then they said, nowadays you have something that can separate the milk from the dirt and the dust, so we can drink it back again once it's dropped. I said, amazing, look at how the children are. That's why we are losing akhlaq. Because now we don't cry over spilt milk for the wrong reasons, subhanallah. We don't cry for the wrong reasons. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. The message here is, think before you utter the words. You are speaking to an ustad. You are speaking to someone who is older than you. What words are you using? Let me give you an example. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I mentioned this in Cape Town also. He happened to be walking with a woman whom he was assisting, an old lady. He was Nabi. And we all know she was swearing him from the beginning to the end. What did he say? He knew there is no point in discussing, in uttering, in saying anything. She was saying, there is a man in Makkah, his name is Muhammad. He's a very dangerous man, stay away from him. He is like this and like that, swearing big swear words, saying that he is leading people astray, he is cursing our gods and so on and so forth. He's cursed the religion of our forefathers. Please, you are the best man I've come across. You are helping me with my goods up to my house. And now I want you to be protected from devils like that. He kept quiet. He was the one this lady was talking about. If it was us, as I always say, we would take the parcel and throw it straight on her face. to say, what the hell are you talking about? May Allah save us. That's not the sunnah. Sunnah is, think carefully. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. I think it was in Parkwood where I mentioned this hadith. And I said, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, either utter that which is beneficial or keep quiet. Remain gagged. Let's take it further. What happened to that lady? When the time was right, after he dropped or he delivered her where she had to be taken and put the goods down, then when she asked, who are you? Now he seized the opportunity. He was going to go away. Maybe one day he might have met her later on and she would have found out. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the matter to be resolved immediately. أحبب حبيبك هونا ما عسى أن يكون بغيضك يوما ما أبغض بغيضك هونا ما عسى أن يكون حبيبك يوما ما. Beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you love someone, don't overlove them without limits, because one day they might be your biggest enemy. And when you hate someone, hate them with moderation, one day they might be your closest buddy. Subhanallah. Look at this hadith. Who will teach you this? So when you dislike someone, you must have limits. لا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى واتقوا الله. Your hatred for any nation must not lead you to become oppressive against that nation. You must still be just, for definitely that is closer to taqwa. It is closer to the fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you hate people, don't utter irresponsible statements. What's going on in the world is, it makes the Muslim heart bleed, we all know that. But do not utter a single word that will result in further disaster for the Muslim ummah through your own mouth. You must be responsible in your statements. If you don't know what to say, keep quiet. There are political statements made very irresponsibly by the public of the Muslims, which give the Muslims a bad name. Why? Because of irresponsible statements. Remember, think of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he had the angels at his command. Still, he didn't utter a word. When the lady asked, who are you? He said, you know, the same man you are speaking about from there right to this point. I am that man. What did she do? She declared the shahadati, Allah ilaha illallah wa annahu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She declared immediately that, oh, I bear witness that there is one God, the one you are calling towards, and indeed and definitely you are a messenger of Allah. These are the qualities I have seen. Islam was not spread by the sword. The sword was used for defense and revenge. Never was it used to spread Islam initially. But Islam spread, take a look at Far East Asia and so on, with good akhlaq, with good character and conduct. Learn how to speak. Similarly, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke, let me go deeper, you will be stunned and shocked. When he spoke to one person, remember, he was the perfect example. Was there an example better than his? Never. When he spoke to one person, he spoke with the volume required for that person to hear and not to disturb others. Allahu Akbar Kabira. When he spoke to two people, he raised the volume slightly. MashaAllah. May Allah grant reward to our sound man here. When he spoke to 10 people, he raised the volume a little bit more. When he spoke to more people, he raised it more. He did not scold and shout people unless there was an occasion to do so. Most of the time he smiled. And he taught to smile, and he said, تَبَسُّمُكَ فِي وَجِهِ أَخِيكَ صَدَقَ. To smile upon the face of your fellow Muslim brother is actually an act of merit. Listen carefully to what I said. I didn't say sisters. I don't want people to go out and start smiling and saying it's sunnah. Remember that. So, this is something we must understand. You need to be a person who is approachable. If someone wants to learn about deen, they are non-Muslims. Are you a person they can come to ask to say, hey, listen, what is this religion you are following? Or have you created such a barrier that they won't even dare to talk to you? Unless it was business in your shop. Allahu Akbar. That's what we do today. We have a business deal. We are friends with everyone because we want to make $1 and 1 rand. But when we want to spread deen, we are enemies. I stand with such an expression on my face. People look at me and say, this man here, he must be one of those. You know what I'm talking about. May Allah save us. When he spoke, his volume was correct. He knew how much to speak. At times when he was addressing, in specific occasions, when he had to get upset, or should I say, he had to display a certain amount of anger, displeasure at something, he would become red. And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his qualities are mentioned. كَانَ إِذَا خَطَبَ إِحْمَرَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ وَعَلَى صَوْتُهُ وَاشْتَدَّ غَضَبُهُ كَأَنَّهُ مُنذِرُ جَيْشٍ يَقُولُ صَبَّحَكُمْ وَمَسَّاكُمْ. When he spoke, at times his eyes would go red, his volume would be increased, and literally you would see the anger as though he was warning an army regarding what is coming in the morning and in the evening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But that was not all the time. That was when he gave forward a khutbah which required that. When he spoke to his wives, never ever do we know إِحْمَرَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ وَعَلَى صَوْتُهُ وَاشْتَدَّ غَضَبُ. When he spoke to his wives, he was never as angry, or he was never angry with red eyes and, you know, raised his voice. Never ever. So to drop your volume with those whom you are meant to drop it is a very big ibadah, very great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From this day on, regard it as an act of worship and a duty to cut the volume. Drop it. When you speak, how many people are you talking to? If you are speaking to one man, lower your volume. Today from Cape Town, mashallah, we phone Britain. We are speaking, technology has carried our voice, but it's as though they are so far. Hello, can you hear me? Yes. Oh, and people behind saying, you know, even if you said hello, they can hear you. But because your mentality makes you feel they are far, you want to scream at them. Why? Because you have not adopted the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even when speaking. It's a fact. Think about it. You talk to me in Harare. Hey, how are you doing? Are you alright? You know, I'm fine. Don't worry. I can hear you. Relax. Take it easy. So do not let people look at you and say this person has no idea of how to talk. That's against the sunnah. Do you ever think that anyone looked at Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ever uttered the words that this person has no idea to talk? Na'udhu billah. Never. He knew exactly how to speak, when to speak. Perfect example. You want to follow it? There it is. Today, why I'm bringing this up? In our day-to-day lives, the thing we do most is walking and talking. That's why I'm raising it today. Make it an ibadah. Drop your volume. Know what you're saying. You're speaking to more people, increase it. Less people, decrease it. Some people might say, you are guilty of screaming in the microphone. I have got a message to deliver. Sometimes it gets, the wax in the ears is a bit too much. It's got to go in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. That is as far as the volume went. Let me take you further. How did he talk? How? The words themselves, how did they come out of his mouth? لَوْ عَدَّهُ الْعَادُّ لَأَحْصَاهُ. According to a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding his character and conduct, he spoke so clearly that the first letter and the last letter came out as clear as all the letters whilst he was speaking, as an act of worship in order to convey the message so that nobody would misunderstand him. In such a way that if someone wanted to count the number of letters that he spoke whilst he was speaking, how many letters in each word, they were able to do it. لَوْ عَدَّهُ الْعَادُّ لَأَحْصَاهُ. If a counter wanted to count the number of letters in the words he spoke, they would be able to do it. If I was to speak in that method today, people would say he's mad. Let me say one sentence, just to fulfill the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And listen, I will speak in English, but try and count the number of letters in the words I am saying. If the Prophet of Allah was here, he would speak in a manner that everyone would be able to digest every word as it is coming out of his mouth. Subhanallah. So clear, you know, you are digesting it, it's coming in. That is how the Sahaba used to remember everything. They were granted barakah. They were granted a good memory. But the way he spoke was kamal, kamal. So perfect. So to speak clearly is an act of worship, such a great sunnah. Such a great act of worship just to talk clearly. Today when we answer the phone, I'm giving you the example because I suffer. Some of us scream loudly and some of us, hello, Islam, can I speak? I heard the hello, but who do you want to speak to? The main message didn't come across because you did not fulfill the sunnah. Hello, Islam, what did you say? I know you said salamu alaykum, but I didn't hear it. You could have said assalamu alaykum, you know, which means poison upon you or death upon you. Speak clearly. We all know about Aisha radiallahu anha. She had sharp ears. One day she heard the kuffar, one of them saying, assalamu alaikum, which means death upon you, or, you know, destruction upon you. She heard it and she said, wa alaikum assalamu wal la'na. That for you, against you, I'm cursing you with the same curse and even further than that, with another curse. So Rasulullah s.a.w. looked at her and said, mahlan ya Aisha. Relax, take it easy, O Aisha. Subhanallah, this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I raised that just to end the story. It came to my mind and I thought I had to share it with you. Subhanallah. So, what we are saying here is to speak clearly is a very big ibadah. Why don't we look at it as an act of worship, reviving a sunnah? I'm sure we've read so many hadith which say to revive a sunnah will give you this much reward and that much reward. Why then don't we revive the sunnah of speaking? Talk clearly. Hello, can you hear me? Yes, I can. I would like to speak to Abdullah. They don't have to ask you, twice and thrice. This happens every day on our phones. Most probably, those who have second billing, I'm talking of your own networks here, it will be cheaper for you to adopt the sunnah because they will understand how what you are saying first time. By the time they say, three times, it's ₹3. So the sunnah is cheaper to adopt. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Wallahi, I'm telling you. We are worried about dunya and money. That's why I have to bring the word cheaper also. Some people might fulfill it only for that reason. May Allah save us. So this is something amazing we have to look at. Talk, but speak clearly. Utter your words properly. Know the distance between you and the person you are addressing. Try to get closer to them. I don't know of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he was far away and he screamed at someone. He tried to get as close as possible before he spoke to them. You know, we've got a habit, especially the women folk in the home. You want to call the maid from the back and you scream from one corner for your own child who is right in the other corner and you scream 5-10 times. Subhanallah, do you think that is sunnah? Just think for a minute. Imagine the neighbors will hear you. And sometimes if someone of the same name happens to be of the neighbors, they'll knock your door and say, I'm here. It can happen. So we rather get close to the child and say, Fatima, come here. This is what I would like you to do. Speak clearly and put forward your request in the most polite manner. You don't say, come here, cook the food. No. That's not sunnah. Think to yourself, what I'm doing, is it sunnah or not? Every movement of yours, you can adopt the sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human being. He spoke, he talked, he walked, he did whatever we are doing, meaning that all these basic issues of nature, we can make them into acts of worship if we correct our intention and try to become the most perfect examples ourselves. So you call your child, you want to tell your child, reprimand the child for having popped somebody's balloon. Yes, it can happen. I'm talking of very little children. The reason I'm giving you this example is it happened in my own home a few days ago. Someone bought us a whole pile of balloons and the children went around with pins, you know. I don't know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. It shows where jealousy starts from. So I called them and I said, look, are you people adults? They said, no, we are children. Now they are children. And when you ask them some other time, they say, no, we are adults.